You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome into a What If edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the co-host of this wonderful show. So, as the coronavirus pandemic continues, and we all go a little crazy here on the Locked On Pacers Podcast Network, we're going to be doing What If podcasts once a week that were brought to you by me. So what this means is we're going to take a pivotal moment in Pacer history, trace its roots, trace its branches afterwards, and talk about what if a certain thing had happened and how it would have changed the Pacers forever. Now, we aren't going to do obvious things. Like, I'm not going to do the Kawhi pick because that's the most obvious, honestly stupidest one. But we're going to pick plays, trades, hires, whatever it is. I'm going to find moments, as long as this coronavirus thing goes on, and I will bring you once a week a what-if branch from that moment. So today's podcast, I'm going to start with the 2004 Eastern Conference Finals, May 24th, Game 2. Let me take you back to this fateful night. Pacers, 61-win team, up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe their best shot realistic at winning the NBA Finals is this season. They've been the best team all season. On the other side of the bracket in the Western Conference, we don't know this yet, but the Lakers are slowly imploding. This series, if they win this series, they might as well call themselves NBA champions because this series is the two best teams, Detroit Pistons and Indiana Pacers. So, the moment I chose, which I think if you haven't figured it out yet, game score 69-67. There is 30 seconds left, and Jermaine O'Neal blocks Rasheed Wallace. Chauncey Billups picks up the ball on the rebound, but shot clock's running down. 3-4, but Jamal Tinsley knocks the ball out of Billups' hands. Pacers still trail 69-67. Then Austin Crozier picks up the ball, passes it to Tinsley. Tinsley out to Reggie. Reggie, with a 3 or 4 step drop on Tayshaun Prince, goes to the rim, tries to tie the game with a layup. 34 to Reggie at this point. Tayshaun Prince blocks the ball right into Rip Hamilton's hands. Hamilton gets fouled, hits both free throws with 15 seconds left. And the Pacers lose 71-67, tying this Eastern Conference Finals up 1-1. The Pacers are going to lose the series in a 4-2 series. They lost Game 3, won Game 4, lost Game 5 and 6. This moment prevented the Pacers from going up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals and prevented the Pacers from having their probably best shot at winning an NBA championship. So, take you back real fast. So the first thing I noticed, and this is the thing, so I watched this game live when I had to be 7 years old, right? So I'm 7 years old, so it's a little fuzzy. And I watched this play multiple times since then, but I remember watching this play and it being, two things being unbelievable at the moment. One, that Prince didn't knock the ball out of bounds. That Reggie got blocked in the first place, and that it wasn't goaltending, and that he wasn't fouled. Like, all four of those things were like, what? So, I watched it again, and it's pretty close on goaltending. I guess if we had the replay and the high-def cameras that I remember watching on, 2004 television, that's like, we're talking grainy televisions. You can't even, you can't break down it frame by frame. It might have been goaltending just barely, but kind of like the Vic play in 2017 against the Cavs, where Vic goes up for the layup, LeBron blocks it, they don't call goaltending in real time, they don't have the replay abilities yet. When they do the replay the next morning, obviously it was goaltending, but like split second goaltending. So that's what it reminded me of. Two, Reggie was not as far ahead of Tayshaun Prince as I thought. So when you watch the play in frame by frame action, what you notice is that Reggie gets the ball basically at the 3-point line right as Tayshaun, I guess you could say, is 4 steps to his, four steps to his left, but basically parallel, right? So in this point, remember, we're talking about a 23 or 24 Tayshaun Prince and a 36-year-old Reggie Miller. So at this point, we're talking about a 12-year age difference. Prince is 6'6", long, known for his length and whatnot. Reggie, kind of a long dude, but still slow. But you notice that really Reggie, when he goes up for the shot, isn't really, he's almost taking his time because he thinks he has more, but is also really, really trying just to get, I think, the layup and the goaltending. I think his goal here is he knows Prince is coming, so it's either, okay, I'm going to get fouled, or I'm going to put the ball in the glass for goaltending. But whatever happens, Prince times it just perfectly, comes flying in the air probably. I think Prince takes off basically like right in front of the free throw line. Yeah, he takes one step in front of the free throw line and takes off. But to me, you know, watching it in real time, it's like Reggie really should have just gone for the dunk, got fouled. I mean, if Reggie goes for the dunk here, he gets fouled. If they don't call a foul, then that's a whole other problem. And that's a bigger what-if moment, I guess. But like, if Reggie goes for the dunk here, Tayshaun definitely 100% hits his hand, causes him to be fouled. Reggie goes to the line and probably ties this game up, you know, one of the best free throw shooters in the history of the NBA at home, right? Ties this game at 69. You know, do they go to overtime? In my opinion, they probably do go to overtime. That's the first thing I think. If this game is tied 69-69, they go to overtime because of the defense of both teams was so stout. And then you're just playing your odds. Pacers at home in overtime. You think they can pull it out, probably. Let's say they win game two. Like I said, you take it the same way. They lose game three, they did in the series, win game four, up 3-1, with having to win one of three games and two at home. I think they do get one of those games and ultimately go on to the NBA Finals. But there are some things here, though, that are some... That's kind of the major what-if thing. Let's backtrack a little bit. So what are some of the minor what-ifs here? Well, I think the first one I noticed is Tinsley makes the pass to Reggie and stops, but Rip Hamilton doesn't. And this is a critical play in this game because Tayshaun Prince should have knocked this ball out of bounds. Like, it is amazing that he doesn't, that Hamilton, even while trailing, actually able to corral the ball before it goes out of bounds, right? Because that happens with a block like this, right? I mean, unless he perfectly pins it against the glass, but he didn't. This ball goes out of bounds. There's 16.2 seconds left, give or take. Pacers have the ball with a chance to tie it up, maybe even win the game. Do they? You know, that's a good question. It's, you know, it's a 69-67 game, right? That's the score of halves right now in the NBA. That's a full game score. So maybe the Pacers defense is so good they stop them. You know, you go back to the game, right, and you look at, like, the fourth quarter, right? So you look in that fourth quarter, the Pacers really didn't do much. They scored 13 points in that fourth quarter. So here's the Pacers' third and fourth quarters, 11 points, 13 points, right? So maybe they don't score. You know, you don't have a ton of Pacers having a great, like, fourth quarter if you look at it, right? The best, Reggie Miller was the highest scoring fourth quarter player with 4 points, and it all came at the free throw line, right? So you got him going 0-for-5, you got Jermaine 0-for-3, Tinsley 1-for-5, you got Crozier 0-for-3. So maybe they don't tie this game. Maybe, I mean, that's a what if, that even if it ball goes out of bounds, maybe they don't tie this game into this. But the other one, right, is this Tinsley chases after him, right? Right, so obviously what happens, Hamilton gets the rebound, goes on to make two free throws, seals the game. That's sort of the major what if in this game. The last what if I would entertain, so let's say the Pacers do win this series, is do they beat the Lakers, right? So you get a rematch of the 2000, with the 2003-04 series. I mean, almost, if the Pacers won the series, it would have been, they were the team that lost to start the Lakers dynasty, and their team that ended the Lakers dynasty. I do think the Pacers had a good advantage in that series. Their defense was as good as this Pistons team, right? You have to remember that these Pacers and Pistons team were basically, I think, even at least this season. Now, going forward, some things change, but like, of the top five, right? So the Pacers' top five at this moment in this game currently is Tinsley, Reggie, Crozier, Artest, O'Neal, right? That's the five guys they're playing versus the Pistons' five is Billups, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed, and Ben Wallace. So, Billups is better than Tinsley. Reggie and Rip are pretty even at this point. Obviously, Reggie would go on because he's so late in career, maybe not going forward, but in this game, I would say they're even. Crozier is better offensively, but worse defensively than Tayshaun, so that's probably a slight Pistons advantage. Artest and Rasheed, I would say they kind of match up evenly. Both, you know, Artest is younger, a little bit better offensive player at this point, and then J.O. and Ben, who I think are probably fair matches, but slightly the Pacers because J.O. was such a good offensive player that, like, I mean, Wallace could not score at all for anything. So, this point, I'd say they're pretty too even, right? Then you got Carlo, who coached this team, so he knows him pretty well. You got Larry Brown, who's kind of, I think, one of, this is kind of his great 3 or 4 year run. I mean, he's really going to be a good coach too. So, these teams were just, like, very evenly matched at this point. So the Pacers, and the one advantage they have is they have home court, right? So they get this game, they keep home court, and that's a huge deal in the series. Now, of course, they win it back in game four, so it didn't really, you know, you could say, well, they would have lost anyway because they won it. It was in game, they win it back, it was it again by game five, and obviously, so there is some variance here where, like, even if they lose this game, maybe they lose the next three games or the next four even. But I have a hard time believing the Pacers win this game. They lose this series. Going up 2-0 with home court is, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's pretty rare you lose a series. And the Pistons were a generational team, so there's that. But I think the Pacers were as good as this team. So let's go further. So let's say they beat the Lakers, right? This single game had like a lasting impact, right? So if you go further this game, let's say they win this game, they win the finals. That means you have an NBA championship team, and maybe what happens in this offseason, right? Does Al Harrington leave this Pacer team? So then maybe you don't have Steven Jackson and traded for Al Harrington, right? Harrington, I believe, is a better player than Jackson, better fit for the Pacer team at least. So then are you talking, right? Harrington, maybe they decide we're not going to trade Harrington because even if he wants out, blah, 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 we are an NBA championship team who's going to compete again, right? Oh, people would say the 2004-05 season was actually the Pacers' best season to win a championship, right? That was their best moment until the mouth at the Palace, right? So let's say they win the championship. You have Harrington. You have no Jackson. So then you don't have two guys running in the stands in the mouth in the Palace. Maybe even that doesn't even happen because the Pacers win the series and the Pistons make a move because they decide they need to get over the hump. So then maybe you don't have the same fight, whatever it is. Maybe you don't have Artest as angry wanting revenge because he's like, we won the NBA Finals. Who cares about this, you know, this petty little November 17th bullshit little fight? So could this game be the moment that sort of prevents like a Pacers mini dynasty, right? So let's keep playing this out, right? So we know the Pistons made five straight NBA Eastern Conference Finals, right? So the Pistons made the finals in 2004-05 and lost to San Antonio. They make it the next 2 years losing to less 3 years, right? They lost to Miami, Cleveland, and Boston, right? So and they made it the year before losing to New Jersey, I believe, right? That's their 5 year run, right? Do the Pacers compete in three of those years, right? So 2003-04 they make it. Unless they make it again in 2004-05. I think that's a fair assumption. If they, you know, they were, right? If they don't keep Harrington, they probably make the finals if they don't have a mouse at the Palace thing, East Conference Finals. So that's two, right? Do they beat Detroit again? Maybe not. You could tell me, you know, these teams, like I said, were evenly matched. Maybe Detroit ends up winning more games that year, whatever. But there's a right Detroit. So I pulled up the history of the team, right? Detroit in 2004-05 won 54 games. So let's say the Pacers, maybe they win 60 again, maybe they win 58, whatever it is. And they finished, I believe, in the conference, they finished first in the division, so they ended up, I believe, as the 2 seed that year. So let's say they lose that one, but then are they back in 2005-06, right? Are we talking about this kind of 3 or 4 year run where you built this team? Because what happened eventually is Harrington replaces Reggie in the lineup, right? So then you built this team around Crozier, Tinsley, Artest, O'Neal, and Harrington, right? Does that team compete in 2005-06? Does this team make two out of, let's say, the next 3 years? I don't know if they may have a 5 year run of them, but let's think, because eventually J.O. starts to hit the other side of his career, injuries pile up, whatnot. But from 2003 to 2006, does this team make all, you know, three conference finals? Do they maybe get lucky when two of them, they make two NBA finals, right? Right? Are they going to have to beat the Spurs in 2004-05? Maybe are they going to have to beat the Mavs in 2005-06? Maybe. I mean, these are all things that are more than likely, right? Are we talking about a 3 or 4 year run? The Pacers are the, instead of it being this, I mean, I think, you know, the 03, right? This 03 through 06 era is defined by really its lack of dominant team, right? So you get the Pistons win, then you get the Spurs win, then you get the Heat win, and then you get the Spurs win. And the Spurs kind of cap it off, and they kind of become the team of this. But like from, I would say 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, there's four different NBA champions, right? You have the Lakers, Pistons, Spurs, Heat. Do the Pacers win two of those? Do they become like the Spurs competition in this kind of dynamic? Do they play the Spurs in 05, 06, and then maybe play them again in 06, 07 because it's like this kind of like, I don't know, back and forth battle, right? I mean, does Jermaine O'Neal win an MVP one of these years because he doesn't have the mouse in the palace and has that great 2004-05? Just, you know, there are so many things. The Pacers end up winning this series that, and if this series, if you point to the same thing that prevents the mouse in the palace, this set in a turn of events that leads to the Pacers having this great little mini dynasty. Is Rick Carlisle even leave the Pacers eventually, right? If they win a championship, does he become the Pacers coach for life? Is he their coach? He's the coach of the NBA today. Is he the Pacers coach still today? You know, there's all these ramifications that trail back to if the Pacers win this series and win the finals, do they keep this little core intact instead of turning to Steven Jackson, trying to the last minute push themselves to the next level, right? And because I think they have to, they realize they hone in and stay with the level they currently are because they realize that it is good enough to win a championship. And that's as far as I'll take this out. But that to me, this game is that turning point in this whole thing. So I'm going to do a quick break, and then I want to talk about what actually led up to this moment. Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball bench and pitchers off the mound. Well, maybe that will change soon. But our friends at MyBookie are not going to let you get down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out in the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker not your thing but still need a fix? They've got you covered with hosts of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at tables live on-site 24/7. Your favorite squad sideline because of the pandemic? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of our shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in a time like this. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's MyBookie using the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. You spin, you win, you get paid. So the most interesting thing I saw from the Pacers kind of from this moment is I thought it'd be fun to trace Tayshaun Prince. Because I think he is, right, if Tayshaun Prince isn't in this game and it's somebody else, did the Pacers ultimately win this game, right? Does Reggie make that shot? They pull it off, win the game if it's, I mean, so I'm going to go for example, right? So this was, Tayshaun was taken, I believe, just 2 years prior in the 2002 NBA draft. He was taken 23rd overall by the Pistons. It was rumored the Pistons wanted Kareem Rush, who was a much worse pace player than Tayshaun Prince, obviously. Didn't really have a great career. Ended up playing basically 4 years in the league, and then he was out, came back with the pace for a little bit. He just never really caught on. Kareem Rush, they look at his, like, his best, he had a really good, you know, 04, 05 season when he averaged 11 points per game, but career 6 points a game guy versus Tayshaun, who had a pretty long NBA career. I think he ended up playing like 13, 14 seasons, averaged 12.6 points per game, played for Detroit for probably 10 years, then played in Memphis, Boston, Minnesota. I mean, Prince had a pretty long and fruitful career in, I mean, from what you want to say for the five, you know, Pistons Eastern Conference Finals, he was pretty critical to this team. I mean, pretty decent offensive player, like a 50, like a 45, 36 player in terms of shooting to 3-point, 2-point field goal percentages to 3-point shooting. And just an amazing defensive player, huge part of their kind of like, I mean, I don't know what you call their defense, just like, I would call it like a, like, so like, imagine putting like four Kawhis on a floor, and that's kind of what the Pistons were like, right? They had this menacing rim protector in Ben Wallace who just didn't let you score on the rim, and then you had like between Prince, Rip, Rasheed, and Billups, you had a bunch of good one-on-one defenders who could just like wrap you around. Like Prince was very Kawhi-esque defensively, where he just had these long arms, long body, could reach around, do all these kind of things, right? So something interesting I found tracing this back, right, is in 2002, the Pacers, who were nine picks ahead of the Pistons, picking 14 of the 2002-3 draft, legitimately thought about taking Tayshaun Prince. So here's a quote from an article written by Mark Monteith in the Indianapolis Star. I don't know if I can see the date on this newspaper archives. June 26, 2002. So Monteith is basically writing about the Pacers, like who they're going to take, who they're looking at. He has a list of guys. But one of the quotes interesting I was found was, Walsh agreed, warning the NBA's recent infatuation with young potential might have gone too far. So this is Donnie Walsh, Pacers GM. At some point, there's going to be a payday, Walsh said. In the process, these players are staying in college and improving their games and becoming really good NBA prospects, and are being overlooked, right? And so The Pacers had their eye on four veteran prospects, right? Four guys who had played in college for all 4 years, right? All Americans like Dan Diaku, Juan Dixon, Sam Clancy, Casey Jacobson, Carlos Boozer, and Tayshaun Prince. Sorry, that was not four. That was six guys. The Pacers ultimately took Fred Jones in the draft, another another four-year player. Fred Jones is known for being one of really short, but he played 4 years at Oregon and had a pretty decent career with the Pacers. But the Pacers had the opportunity to take Tayshaun Prince here, and if they had taken Tayshaun Prince, this sets an emotion of events where Tayshaun Prince probably becomes the Reggie replacement, right? So instead of being the guy who blocks Reggie, he's probably the sixth man for this Pacer team, right? I mean, he makes sense. Right? The Pacers, he was a wing player who, I mean, maybe I'm thinking too modern, but he's a wing player who could play pretty much small forward, shooting guard kind of mix, right? So now you're talking about maybe a team where you have Jamal Tinsley, Reggie, Tayshaun, Artest, O'Neal, right? Maybe that's your five instead of what you did, instead of playing Crozier, right? So you have this kind of offense, defense between Crozier and Tayshaun. You still don't need Harrington then. And then also what you do is you set the Pistons back, right? The Pistons, if they don't get Tayshaun Prince, they don't have their big five. They have their four, but then they have their three, and then they trade for Rasheed Wallace, obviously, in this season. So they're looking for that fifth guy, and then maybe they don't get him, right? So there is a chain of events here where if the Pacers had just kind of reached for Tayshaun Prince, everything that went in place doesn't happen, right? So then I want to read another article, if I can find it on my tabs real quick, from the Detroit. So this is another one. So from Detroit Free Press, right? So what's odd about the 2002 draft is the Pistons, so they had this weird thing where they traded the pick. Basically, the Pistons had to convey the pick, right? So over the next 3 years, the Pistons, from 2002, 3, and 4, the Pistons could give their pick to Atlanta because of a trade they made for Jerry Stackhouse, right? So the Pistons owe the Hawks a first-round pick, a compensation for trade that brought Jerry Stackhouse to Detroit for Theo Radcliffe and Aaron McKee. This is an article in the Detroit Free Press, June 22nd, 2002, written by Perry Falwell. So what the Pistons ultimately did was they gave up, I believe, their 2004 pick, which ended up being Josh Smith. It was a 17th overall pick. So I found odd, right? The Pistons are picking 22nd in this draft. It would seem like you'd probably want to. I mean, I guess they assumed they were going to be pretty good going forward, right? So remember, in 2003, this team would take Darko Milicic when they had that weird trade up, right? They ended up being able to go up and get him because of what was the trade ultimately? It was some weird trade with Memphis where they ended up getting their pick and whatnot. So they didn't have any other pick to give up that year, I believe, because they pick swapped it with Memphis, right? So let's say Detroit just decides, well, it's the 22nd overall pick, players aren't gonna be that good anyways, we're just gonna give our pick. That's another chain of events where Tayshaun Prince doesn't end up as a Piston. You know, there's these two moments where Tayshaun doesn't end up as a Piston, right? The other event, the last one that was really key, is the 2003-2004 Eastern Conference semifinals. So I remember watching this series, the Pistons, Nets, thinking the Pacers are going to play the Nets. It made logical sense. Basically, the Nets went up 3-2, I believe, after game five, heading back home against Detroit. And I thought, oh, and this was the time when the Nets, remember, they had back-to-back NBA finals. This Nets team is really good with Richard Jefferson and Jason Kidd. Like, there's, you know, my thought was, oh, they are for sure going to head back they're definitely going to win this game and end up playing the Pacers. And I thought the Nets were a better matchup, to be honest, right? The Pistons and the Pacers had this rivalry even all season long where the Pistons were pretty good. I believe they beat the Pacers actually in the season series, or they tied them 2-2. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I remember thinking that I'd rather play the Nets because I thought they were not as good. I thought they were at the back end of that dynasty, and clearly they weren't because they didn't beat the Pistons. But I really thought they could. I really thought they were better than them. So let's end this podcast connecting all the threads real fast. All right. So let's go back to the 2002 NBA draft. The Pistons draft Tayshaun Prince with a 22nd overall pick, but they could have conveyed that pick to Atlanta as part of that 3-year deal. They do that. Tayshaun Prince is never a Piston, never set in motion in the events. Then at 14, the Pacers could have taken Tayshaun Prince, putting him on their roster, setting in mototion events that maybe led him to not be a Piston, handicapping the Pistons' future, and actually setting the Pacers for a better future the next 3-4 seasons. All right. Then you go to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Nets are up 3-2 on the Pistons at home are not able to close it out. If they are, the Pacers might beat the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. Again, sending them to the NBA Finals, sending on the chain of events that leads them to a mini NBA dynasty in the 04 to 06 range. All right, then let's go to the game. Reggie goes for the dunk. If he goes for the dunk, he gets fouled. Maybe he makes both free throws. This game goes overtime. Pacers win at home, overtime, go up 2-0, win the series, win 2-3-4 NBA Finals. All right, that's one of them. Then, let's say Jamal Tinsley decides to run after the ball instead of after making the pass to Reggie, just sitting back at the half-court line, chases down, trailing Reggie instead of just Rip Hamilton, and either forces the ball to go out of bounds because they're fighting over it, or gets the rebound, puts it back in, whatever it is. The Pacers have a shot here at winning the game. Once again, going to overtime, setting events, and wins them an NBA championship. Now, let's say Rip Hamilton doesn't shoot after the ball. Ball goes out of bounds, 16.2 left. Pacers have the ball, chance to tie. Maybe they do, but this is a minor what if. But let's say they do. Again, lead to a chain of events, to a championship. Okay, so let's say they do win a championship. What does that mean? Does that mean Rick Carlisle is the Pacers coach? Possibly, because maybe they win the whole thing. Do they compete in 04-05? Does the Malice in the Palace still happen? Do we see a mini Pacers dynasty where Artest and O'Neal are praised as the greatest two Pacers of all time? Do we see Reggie get his championship, then become the first ballot Hall of Famer? All those events are set in place because Reggie could not score in Game 2 of the 2004 Eastern Conference Finals. Let me know what you guys thought of this podcast. I tried to kind of prep and write out a little bit. Obviously, it was still a little bit jumbled, but let me know what you thought. I'm going to pick another one for next week. I will tease it out probably on our Monday show, but let me know what you thought of the What If podcast. If you think it's a good idea, any suggestions? I've got a couple other in mind. I probably have 3 or 4 really in mind, and then I'm going to have to start digging deep. So if you have a what if suggestion, and please don't make it the Kawhi draft, but something interesting. It can be anything spanning from the late 80s to 90s to 2000, 2010s, whatever it is. Send your suggestions to me at FreeManAdam5 or a podcast at Locked On Pacers. That's been all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. You guys, again, on Monday, stay safe out there, please.